morning, good afternoon, wherever we are. One of the topics that I was asked to speak about was Kibud Avim. This morning, Rabbi Leibowitz came in to talk to me about the fact. I was asked to speak about Hilchos Kibud Avim, but I leave the halacha to Rabbi Leibowitz to talk about. I want to talk a little bit about the hashkafa of Kibud Avim. I think that Kibud Avim is an area that many people have great difficulty in. I could certainly speak from my own experience in high school. I remember certainly in high school and probably immediately post high school also, and college and times like that, and Beis Medrash. It's difficult. It's difficult. And my parents at Tzaddikim, and it was still difficult. It's an area of difficulty for many people. And the reason for that difficulty is because we're, by nature, we take the things that our parents do for us for granted. That's the nature. When you have something, it's always there and it's always happening, and it's a constant overflowing source of giving. So we don't appreciate it. And I really believe that that's really the amkus in the Torah's formulation of Kibud Avim as a mitzvah bein adam l'chaveiro. You know that in the Aseres HaDibros, so we're familiar with the fact that the Dibros on the right side are the bein adam l'makom Dibros, and the Dibros on the left side are bein adam l'chaveiro. And yet Kibud Avim is the last on the right side, even though it's the fifth of the Aseres HaDibros, even though it's between man and man. Kibud Avim is it's bein adam l'chaveiro. So what's it doing on the right side of the Dibros? It should be on the left side. Don't kill, don't steal. So honor your parents. That's bein adam l'chaveiro. So the Ramban and others, many others, explain that not all what we're familiar with, what the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, which we'll speak about in a second, about Shlosh Shufin Heim Ba'adam, that there are three partners in man's creation: Hashem, the mother, and the father. So the Ramban develops there that on Kibud Avim, the Ramban develops that, and the Minchas Chinuch says Al Pi Din. I don't know if the Rebbe discussed it, but Al Pi Halacha, the Minchas Chinuch says that Kibud Avim has elements of both being a mitzvah bein adam l'makom and being a mitzvah bein adam l'chaveiro. It's bein adam l'makom in the simple sense that you owe certain things to your parents, like if they ask you for a drink or for food, you have to give it to them. But it's also a mitzvah bein adam l'makom. Well, I have to explain what exactly does that mean. And very nice. Shlosh Shushut v'Heim Ba'adam. Kibud Avim is mitzvah bein adam l'makom. What is that? How do we understand that? So the Ramban actually explains this. The Ramban actually says that's why it's actually the fifth of the Aseres HaDibros, because it's the last of the Bein Adam L'Makoms, which leads you into the Bein Adam L'Chaveiros, because it has elements of both. It's Bein Adam L'Makom, that's why it's number five. That's why it's specifically in position number five, because it's the last of the Bein Adam L'Makoms, but it's the one that gets you from Bein Adam L'Makom to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. So what does that mean, that Kibud Avim is a mitzvah bein adam l'makom? You ever think about it? We hear it all the time. Yeah, three partners in man's creation. So I think that highlights the difficulty that we have in Kibud Avim, because the same difficulty that we have in appreciating our parents is the same difficulty we have in appreciating what the Ribbono Shel Olam does for us. That's, in other words, that Hashem created the child-parent relationship as a metaphor for the child, for the Eved Hashem Ribbono Shalom relationship. It's sort of the same way that we don't appreciate our parents, we don't appreciate the Ribbono Shalom. And the more we become attuned to what our parents do for us, and the more we work on our Kibud Avim, because Be'ikr, working in Kibud Avim, is working on Hakaras HaTov, is working on appreciating what people do for you. So the more a person works on that, he'll be zochel also to appreciate all that the Rabbeinu Shlom does for him in his life. So I think that's what it means, that kibud av v'eim is a mitzvah bein adam l'makom, because it's a metaphor for developing a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the more a person trains himself to appreciate what he has received in his life, that will strengthen his bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could read this into the Ramban. I don't know if he says it explicitly, but the Hislam and Aav Shu, right? Hine Hislam Komash Anachav Medirei Abori Ba'atzmo V'Chvodim. Hashem is our first father, and the father is our second father, our last father. Lekach amar kasher tzivisicha bechvodi kein anochi mitzavcha bechavod amishtatif imi b'yitzira asacha. Etc. So Rabbi Chana Wasserman, I think, has also then the skeptics that there were denying, you know, how do I know there's a God? So Rabbi Chana, I saw one place in his writings, he writes that do you really know your father's your father? How do you know your father's your father? Your mother, you can know, because you came out of your mother's stomach. There's probably pictures from the hospital. There's a stamp, your arm. But your father, how do you know your father's your father? Ever think about that? You know your father's your father because he's your father. Because he's your father. Because because he'd take a bullet for you. That's how you know your father's your father. How do you know? You don't know. You don't have edus. You don't know for sure. You've just been living with him your whole life. You assume he's your father. People start thinking about that. Like, well, is he really my father? I don't know. The whole idea of having that's a metaphor. Rabbi Chana Wasserman writes, that's the biggest, how do we know the Rabbonu Shlom is Rabbonu Shlom? Because like you know your father is your father. So there's this interplay between recognizing someone who's on top of you, who created you, who's involved in your life. But it's very difficult because we tend to take a lot of these things for granted. And when you see people who really do it the right way, you're like, how in the world am I ever going to be able to do that? You know, to really think about treating my parents like I treat the Rabbeinu Shlom. I don't treat my parents like I treat my 3-year-old brother. Think about treating your parents like you treat the Rabbeinu Shlom. I talk to my parents the way I would talk to the janitor in the school. So Rabosai, so you see the Gemara in Kiddushin, you see the way the Amoraim treated their parents. The Gemara talks in Kiddushin on that Flamed Aleph. The Gemara also has that from there's a famous guy who was known for his kibbutz. Esav, Chazal say, also, that's the thing that Esav had going for him. Was such a powerful schus that Esav was able to, whatever he was able to accomplish, it was in the merit of the kibbutz of aim that he had. He excelled at that. You see, the Goyim have that also. It's not Karas Atov. Chazal, the Gemara says in Kedushim, Amad Aleph, many stories about Dama ben Nesina, right? That his father was sleeping and he had the key to make some big business deal. His father was sleeping, he had the key to the Parah Aduma, he had the Avne Eifod, whatever, a whole bunch of stories the Gemara has. And he wouldn't wake up his father, even he could have made 600,000 somethings, whatever the coin was at the time. There was a lot of things that he could have done. But then the Gemara, so that's by the Goyim, but then the Gemara talks about how the Talmidei Chacham used to be mechabed their parents. First Gemara has one tame story. One of the Amoraim had like 5 children, but whenever his father would come to the door, he would drop whatever he was doing and he'd run to the door. Okay, but this one always made a very big roshim on me. Rabbi Tarfon Havalei Ahi Ima Dechol Emas Da'avi Boy Lemesak Lepurya Gochen V'Solikla Dechol Emas Da'avi Noches Nachtas Ilave. Gemara says Rabbi Tarfon's mother, whenever she would get out of bed, Rabbi Tarfon would lie on the floor so that his mother would step on him and then step on the floor. And whenever she would get into bed, so he would lie on the floor that she would step on him to get into bed. So also become Shtabach Be Midrashim.
So he was proud of himself. That's the simple pshat. He went to the Beis Medrash. He told, "Amrli Adai lo igat al chatzi kibud." They said to him, "Eh, it's not such a big deal." Klum zarka arniki b'fanech aliyam lo ichlamta. Did she ever take your money and throw it in the ocean and you didn't react? Rav Yosef ki habeshama kol kari dimi. Rav Yosef, when he used to hear the sound of his mother's footsteps coming, Omar, he would say, "Ekum mekame shchina." I want to stand up in the face of the Shekhinah coming. I'm trying to make a policy that I'm always going to end 5 minutes earlier so Orlovsky can ask all the questions to get, because he always asks the question that gets right to the core of the issue. So I'll just say all the generalities, and Orlovsky says, "Rabbi, come on, let's talk to the real crux of the issue." So that's good. That's the whole point. The Gemara goes so far as to say, "Blessed is he who never saw his parents, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take you to task for having some light." And the Gemara goes on other stories. One of the Amoraim used to put his hands on the floor every time his mother walked. He would put his hand so that his mother would walk on the hand. So you think these Madregas are like, you know. So both say, you have to understand, and I'll say this about myself, that my whole attitude towards respecting my parents totally, totally, dramatically, radically changed as soon as I had my own kid. And I could tell you that the second, almost from the first moment that I had my own kid, maybe from the first week, the first month I had my own kid, the guilt and the shame for the way I spoke to my parents, that I would ever have the guts or the gall to say something negative to my parents as soon as I had my own child. I mean, you think about what a parent goes through for a child. Think about it. The amount of changed diapers, the amount of carpools, the amount of headache, parnassa, of doctor's visits. You know, we're at a time in our lives now where we could basically afford to be pretty self-centered. And we should be. I mean, care about our own learning, our own growth, our own this, our own that, our own car, our own whatever we care about. Our own. The parent is the ultimate expression of somebody who lives their entire lives, certainly when the kids are younger, but lives their entire lives just to give, to put forth, making money. Why? To give. It's hard to describe to somebody the amount of effort and energy and pain and expense and just selflessness involved in the act of being a parent. And we need to think about this. I'm telling you now, as soon as I had my own child, that when my father walks into the room, that I shouldn't jump up. It's like, to me, it's like, how could I not? How could I not jump up when my father walks into the room? My father's seated at the table, like, I shouldn't even be able to go near it. To have that level of cover for my mother, for my father, what they went through for me, what they put up for me, what they did for me, what a parent does for a child. And we have to think of in the same regard of what the Ribbono Shel does for us. Many of us sometimes think the Ribbono Shel hasn't, you know, he's given us a raw deal in life. If only I had the parents like the other guy had parents. If only I had those kind of parents. You know, if only I had the other guy's parents, who do everything for the kid. It's the same kind of feeling. That a person should feel like when their parent walks into the room, the parents who gave their whole lives for me, who put me here. So I think we have to really rethink the whole issue with our parents. We have to have this powerful feeling of hakaras hatov and selflessness, of all the money and pain and sweat and diapers and abuse, all the abuse that our parents put up with us, from us, for years, for what? So you'll say, well, you know, that's their job as parents, no? It's their job. What's such a hakaras hatov? Tell you, if you have that attitude, I pity you when you have your own kids.
person. That I always say that. That's what they say. Some say this. That's kabed es avicha v'simecha l'man yarichun yamecha. Right. It's the gift, the reward the Torah has for kibud avim is arichas yam. So some say the pshat, and I've seen this happen many many times. Some say the pshat. What do you mean? Why dafka this arichas yam? The pshat's very simple. That whichever way you treated your parents, that's the way your kids are going to treat you. So if you have the appropriate respect and you really take care of your parents and you go out of your way and you make their lives enjoyable, so they're going to, your kids are going to make it your business to make your life enjoyable. That's going to give you long life. So it's minei ubei, kabbalah seichel v'simecha. But what Orlovsky is going to ask, and I have to try to think of Orlovsky's questions in advance. What he's going to ask you is that, what do I do when I think that my parents' decisions in my life are slowing down my ruchnius? I don't mean a lot. What are my parents' rights to get involved in my life when I think they're slowing down? So we know that the halacha says that parents don't have a right to tell you to sin. Right? If they tell you to sin, so the halacha says you're not allowed to listen to them. The question is, how broad do you define that, right? I don't want to go to college. They want me to go to college. I want to just learn and grow in my avodas Hashem. Do my parents have a right to tell me to go to college? So, obviously, there's some tricky things there. But the truth is that it's a difficult line to tread. It's a difficult line to tread. And sometimes I think parents do get involved too much. I don't think parents have a right to tell a kid what profession he should be going into. I don't think parents have a right to tell that to a kid. I think that parents have a right to, demand that. I think it's parents' job to make sure that a kid has parnasa. That'll be another talk. We'll talk about getting a job. But I think a parent has a right to demand of a kid to be self-sufficient. A kid does not have a right after, I think a boy should have a right that his parents should pay for his college, but if the parents are paying for college, they probably have a right to say which college it is. But I mean, if they're really going to force you in a situation which is going to be very, very bad for your ruchnius, if they're going to force you to be in a situation and there's the same amount of money that's going to cost to in a place of better ruchnius, so I think that if parents see how much that pains a kid, ultimately, if they're good parents, they will see it, they will understand it. Again, we don't have time to deal with every permutation combination of this, but the general guidelines are that your parents don't have a right to tell you who. It's also very tricky. I don't think your parents have a right to tell you who you should marry. But it's tricky because if they see that you're marrying someone who's going to be a very, very bad influence on you, and they have more experience than you in these kinds of issues, then you have to listen to what they have to say very, very carefully. So a lot of these things are tricky. Again, that's not part of the din. Al pi din, or the Rebbe discussed, hopefully. Machilo, mashkeo, right? Your parents ask you for food, for drink. So that's the ikker thing, right? And you're not supposed to contradict them in public. You're not supposed to say you're wrong. You're not allowed to say that. You might say, but Abba, doesn't it say this? Maybe there's certain ways that you do it. But overall, I think the idea is that we have to keep your eye on the prize in the sense that the whole yisod hadavar is hukash kvodam l'kvod amakom. I remember when I was in sixth grade, we were learning Parshas Emor. I was in sixth grade in Broyers. I went to Broyers in Washington Heights for sixth and eighth grades. Seventh grade in Eretz Yisrael. So we were living Ish Imo Vav Tiros. And my Rebbe, Rabbi Wallerstein, got up and said, any person who doesn't think that his father is the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world, and believe me, there were plenty of people, they weren't even rabbis. My father happened to be a rabbi. Any person who doesn't think that his father is the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world, got what he said. He said something like, should it's a terrible thing. You have to think that your father is the biggest Talmud Chacham in the world. So I raised my hand and said, Rebbe, my father is not as big a Talmud Chacham as Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. He's not. He said, get out. I will never forget that. The truth is, he also said 10 X's. It's the whole system he had about checks and X's. 10 X's. I'll never forget that. And now I understand what he means. That a person has to have mamash, like the Shechina, Hashem Shad. So we need to work on it. Any last questions, or we got it. Okay. Want to wish you a great Shabbos. Looking forward to interacting a little bit with Hashem Shalosh Shuvah Shabbos. Although I heard it's a pretty litvish Shalosh Shuvah over there. Not much singing. I don't know. But okay.
all types. We'll get Rabbi Weinberg to give some shmooze and maybe a little yeshiva. Have a good job.
Thank you.